Blog Talk Radio.
On demand, just go to blogtalkradio.com/suspensemagazine, and you will find any show that you are looking for. Today is Suspense Radio one-on-one with a special guest, Eileen Brady. She is going to be talking about her latest book, Unleashed, which is book two in her series, starring Kate Turner, Dr. Kate Turner, her main character. So we are going to be getting into that. We are also excited to be able to let you know that we had the Story Blender and Climate Science Radio on yesterday. If you were wondering why the Story Blender was a day late, it was because I had technical issues on Friday, and I had to play it on Saturday. But it is up, and it is available now. So let's jump right into our guest here. Again, she is the author of the latest book. It is called Unleashed, with her first book in the series that was called Muzzled, which was a 2013 Discovery Mystery Award-winning book. So we want to welcome Eileen to the show. So thank you so much for coming on, Eileen. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you, John?
I'm doing pretty good. Again, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Of course, you just ended your blog tour with Partners in Crime, tours.net. So we want to say we are the finale tour stop for you. So it's good to be able to have you.
You're the cherry on top of the ice cream, John.
Ah, that's nice. So let's just jump right into the book. It came out in August. It is called Unleashed. It is the second in your Kate Turner mystery series. Let everybody know a little bit about the book.
Well, Unleashed is the second book in the Kate Turner DVM series, like you said. It's about a suicide that actually turns into murder. My lead character, Kate, is a veterinarian. And I'm a veterinarian also. I've been a veterinarian for over 20 years. And so we like to mix our murder with some medicine here. Anyway, so what happens is her client has discovered a suicide. And the little dog that the client owns is sitting there in the animal hospital. And this is a feisty little Cairn Terrier who basically hates everybody, starts barking at everybody and growling. And Kate is pretty sure that Claire would not leave that dog just in limbo. So since it's dismissed by the police, she gets into it and starts investigating. And what I did is I have my book full of all kinds of interesting characters. The animal hospital is a real animal hospital in Oak Falls, mm-hmm. which is in upstate New York. And what I did is I fictionalized it, and she does a lot of house calls. And, of course, in the house calls, the people are themselves, and I've got a lot of eccentric and funny characters in it. So I hope my readers enjoy themselves. They can laugh, they can cry, and they can try to solve the mystery.
And now that makes a lot of sense, because when I was on your site, I want to let everybody know, you can go to EileenBradyMysteries.com for more information on that, visit the website. And I was wondering, I was like, why did James Rollins blurb a cozy mystery? Well, that's because of the veterinarian tie that you both have together.
Well, I met James at Thriller Fest, and I went up to him and I said, you know, I think we're like the two only veterinarians in the world who are writing fiction. And I came to his one of his signings here in Scottsdale at the Poison Pen, which is my publisher. And I said, well, you know, I've just won a Discovery Mystery Award. And he looked at my editor and said, send it to me. I want to read it. And he was so kind enough to write me a nice blog.
You know, and that's what you kind of receive also when you go to Thriller Fest and you see these authors, you start to forge these kind of relationships. I don't think a lot of authors really understand that it's much easier to go with a crowd than it is to kind of go it alone in this
yes.
crazy world of publishing. It's good to have a lot of friends around you and a lot of people that you can kind of, you know, ask questions on and, you know, lean on for certain situations.
Well, you know, writers, I'm talking about, you know, James Rollins is a very, very well-known. Lee Child, Michael, you know, all of these big-name writers were at Thriller Fest. And there's lots of writers, and it's a very, it helps foster camaraderie. You would be surprised at how kind and helpful writers who really are making big bucks are to people who aren't. They really are. I met Lee Child also, and he was a riot talking about how he writes his books. So I would encourage any authors or would-be authors out there to take in a conference and see what it's all about.
You know, everybody had to start with a blank screen and an idea and try to write things down. Some people hit home runs, some people don't. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But it is good to know that an organization like the ITW doesn't really separate the authors into categories. They're basically, everybody's an author and they're all there to learn. And I think that that's one of the great places that, one of the great things that I like about the ITW is it doesn't do that. Like other organizations sometimes have a tendency to do is put people up on pedestals. But when you go to Thriller Fest, like you said, you just walk around and boom, there you see Nelson DeMille, you see Lee Child, you see David Morrell, you just go up and just start talking to them, and they're just, because they all know they're in the same boat as other authors, you know, maybe 20.
Yeah, and I always try to pay it forward. People are coming up to me now and asking me for advice on writing, and I try to be as helpful as people were helpful to me. And I just gave a talk to the Southwest Writers Conference, and I was telling people, why don't you try and enter contests? Because it gives you a deadline, for example, mm-hmm. and then you can enter the contest. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. The most important thing is getting something finished and send it out. And many of these contests will give you critique if you pay a nominal fee for it. And I said, hey, what have you got to lose, guys? And because that's how I got published. I won a contest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great advice to be able to let somebody know you do have deadlines. There's things you have to get done, and to be able to jump in there and get that done. Now, I do want to kind of ask, with your first book and now your second, of course, your first book you had as much time as you wanted to write it. Now you had to jump into your second where your publisher is like, no, it's got to be done by this date. So how was that experience having to go from book one to book two with a whole new set of rules for you?
Well, this was interesting because I wrote the first book, and I was encouraged by my critique group. And that, of course, is another thing I'm going to tell people. Try to hook up with writing group, whether it's through a library or through your local writers associations or whatever, because you need to feel like you're not alone in the world. But I got this idea for, I had been telling them my veterinary stories over the years, and everybody was always laughing and saying, you should write this down. So I had just finished writing a big thriller that was pretty dull. And this is bad when your thriller is dull, you know.
Right.
So I decided to go ahead and try this cozy, and I wrote it pretty quickly. And then right in the middle of the book, I got an idea for the second book. So I was lucky in that I wrote the first book and then zipped right into the second book. And it wasn't until I was already halfway through the second book that this opportunity to go into the contest occurred. So I was lucky. I mean, my editor must have thought I was Speedy Gonzalez, because I already had the second book almost done. Now, don't ask me about the third book, which I'm about 4 months behind on.
Oh. And you know what? But that happens. And sometimes you get your best ideas under pressure. All of a sudden things start coming to you, and then you just keep writing and you just can't stop. And I think that makes it fun also.
Yeah, it does. And I have a lot of fun with this book. A lot of my readers are telling me that they enjoy the back scenes of an animal hospital. For example, I always have at least one staff meeting where everybody's sitting around and trying to figure out what color their scrub should be. And and I've got several continuing characters. I'm trying to build this little world of Oak Falls. I lived in upstate New York for many years. I lived right outside of Woodstock. And so, Woodstock was very, very interesting. It had the people coming up from the city who had bought second homes. And then it had the locals. It had the art people who came up, and writers and artists. And we had a big Buddhist temple up on the hill. So it's really an interesting place, and I kind of fictionalized a lot of things and made it a fun place for my visitors and my readers to visit with me.
Nice. Now, what is, I guess, one of the biggest things that when you go from the first book to the second, and whether it's your writing style or things that you've learned, like by going to conferences, you just learned from writing the first book, will fans see any kind of dramatic difference? Are they going to notice maybe a change in style or something going from Muzzled now into, you know, your latest book, Unleashed?
I don't think so. I think I've been writing for, the first thing I wrote was a little children's book. I wrote and illustrated it because my daughter was, my youngest, always had her little stuffed toy tucked under her arm. I mean, even mm-hmm. through, you know, first and second grade. And she was kind of teased about it. So I wrote a little book about her stuffed animal and all the adventures her stuffed animal had. And that started me thinking, because I've always been a huge reader. Reading has been very, very important in my life. And when I was in veterinary school, which I was in veterinary school in Italy, I read a lot of Agatha Christie, and she helped me get through a lot of exams, because by the time it was time to go to sleep, my brain was all stuffed with everything, and I needed to relax. And I would just read her over and over and over again, and watch how carefully constructed her book was, and where she put her little clues and everything. And I think I read every single Agatha Christie, and I read them multiple times. And I just enjoyed that relaxation, thinking about solving the mystery. And I just enjoyed it so much. And that's kind of what happened when I decided to write this kind of whodunit. And that's what I want my readers to enjoy.
Yeah, I am a huge Agatha Christie fan. I've said it many times on the air that I love those whodunits. I love to be able to. I think what intrigues me the most is when you kind of, you know, like Murder, She Wrote, you see this cast of characters come together and very quickly form. You understand who they all are and who they all hate, why they all hate that person. And then you kind of see that person die, and then they're all wondering, like, I'm glad he's dead, but I didn't do it. And that's kind of the same thing. And so to be able to write that very quickly, I mean, because her books aren't that big, they're so developed, and to be able to get those characters so ingrained into your head and understand, you know, who they are, what they are, and why they could do what possibly they've done, always intrigued me. And I always loved that. And that was just always one of my big pulls to mysteries.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I read all kinds of things. I read I'm also a reviewer for Mystery Scene magazine, and I just I'm reading Make Me by Lee Child. So, and he's gone deep into the deep web and things like that. But I also read poetry, I read cozies, I read nonfiction, and different things are right for you to read at different times in your life. You get all kinds of things. So it's, you know, it's great to read a variety, because that's what life is all about too. So, but anyway,
yeah.
with my book, I think that the people are getting a big kick out of the incorporation of the medicine with the murder, because it's kind of unique for what I do. And Dr. Kate is, all the medicine, all the veterinary medicine in there is real. So, for example, I had a dog eat, you know, the husband goes on a high-protein diet, right? And so he eats 7 pork chops. And
wow.
What does he do? He hands the pork chop bones to the dog.
Yeah.
And the poor dog eats the bones and, of course, gets very uncomfortable. But it's that kind of thing. I that actually came out of somebody in my practice and all kinds of things. And the good thing all my animal lover readers can know is that my animal hospital is 100% successful in all of their cases.
Nice.
So basically what I'm doing is I'm trying to educate about different things, hypothyroidism, diabetes, thyroid disease, so they actually learn something from my little vignettes, and I enjoy doing that.
Yeah, and I think that's what cozies are. I mean, cozies are definitely mysteries that have that soft edge to them, but, you know, they still have that intense, you know, when you're talking about the crime and the things that are going on, but they do have that softer edge, and it's not like quite, you know, in your face. And so it does make for a lot more easy reading. You kind of know there's not going to be any, you know, big blood and gore and big shootouts,
right,
and stuff like that going on. It's just going to be nice and easy. You sit back with a little tea and a little fire, and you just sit down and just get yourself enthralled into the story.
But my, unlike a lot of cozies, my lead, Kate Turner, is a very, very smart woman. She's got a career. She's focused. And she's not a damsel in distress at all. So
and she's
I think,
an amateur sleuth.
And she's an amateur sleuth. So I think our modern women will enjoy that quite a bit. And that's one of the things about being an amateur sleuth, because Miss Marple was an amateur sleuth also.
She was.
So you have to keep coming up with these interesting ways on how your character gets involved in murders, because most people are not involved in several murders a year.
No.
Like our sleuths are. So that's also something. I'm trying to have the body and the murder discovered in a whole bunch of different ways, and she's pulled into it by different ways. So, in the first book, in Muzzled, she was doing a house call for an elderly couple who were dog show enthusiasts, and they had 27 King Charles Spaniels running around in their house. And,
oh, my Lord.
And that's based on an actual client I had also. And so when she comes in, she finds that they have been murdered. So that was an easy one. And in the second one, her client has committed suicide, but it's murder, and so that's how she's drawn into it. So I try to make it realistic and interesting for the reader.
Now, do any of your clients, when they come into when they come into your not really store, when they come into your business, when they come to your office, and you know they have and their dogs or and their cats or something going on, do you ever sit there and they have a weird story? You're like, hey, can I use that for my book? You know, you kind of ask them permission if you think they can kind of be a member of your book.
Well, I'm retired now, but I was in practice for many years, and I also was a veterinary technician before I went to veterinary school. So I have a whole bunch of different stories, so I don't have to ask them anymore. But, you know, it was funny because Michael Crichton went to medical school also, and one of the things he wrote in his, he wrote a book called Travels, which is nonfiction, and he said that he knew he should get out of medical school when he was more interested in incorporating his patients' stories into a book than curing them.
Yeah,
so,
I want you to be
right.
Sick with some major tropical disease so I can write about it, and then we can figure out later, yeah.
Right.
And I think that's just the way minds go. I mean, he was just one of those minds, you know, one of those authors that I don't know if we'll ever see an author like that again. He was very good.
I enjoyed his books very much, and Yes, I thought that the way his mind was and how he attacked issues was very, very interesting. And I, you know, I love this book. I'm also writing thrillers. I'm going to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm probably going to finish my thriller next year. And
standalone, or is it going to be part of a series?
No, well, you know, these days writers are almost forced into doing series.
Oh, don't get me involved in that one. Because I'm going to tell you, I do like series to a point. I don't like series that go 25 books long. I am a standalone person. I'm more of a standalone person because I like to know that the author sat there in front of a blank screen and had to think of everything on the fly. I like seeing new characters. I like seeing new things. Now, I also know that people like series for the same reason, because it's comfortable. You know, when you pick up a Lee Child book, what you're going to get, even though you know he's written so many, you know what you're going to get. But I like standalone books because I like to sit there, or I like series that know the endings. I like, or trilogies, something to that effect. So don't get pulled into that. I need to write a series thing. Oh my God!
Well, I absolutely agree with you, because some books were never meant to be a series.
Right.
But writers are.
After certain books,
right?
You know, it's the same thing as movies. They never should have made a fourth Indiana Jones. It was fine after the third. You didn't need to go to the Crystal Skull. Now you just kind of tainted the series, and it's like that's what people talk about. Like, oh my God, the fourth one was like terrible. And, oh yeah.
I think it's easier for booksellers to promote a series, and I think that's kind of why it's drifting that way. But most of the writers I know, they don't want to go on infinitum with their series. And because I'm a publisher too. Yeah.
I'm a publisher too, and I know that if you write an outstanding book, like let's take for instance The Martian, there's not going to be a sequel to that. You can sell millions of copies of books if you write good books. I don't think you need to have – I think series are more part of a branding thing now, which, you know, authors are now becoming a part of their character more than themselves, and I think that that's what it becomes. But, yeah, I still think that standalone books can easily outsell series books.
Well, I think what I want to do is I'm going to do both. I'll write my Kate Turner series as long as I enjoy it. And right now I am enjoying it. I'm going to be taking her, I think I'm going to take her to an international veterinary conference and see what we can do there. Because I did live in Europe for 5 years. And,
oh, cool.
I think it would be interesting to show different ways of dealing with things depending on what country you're in. So.
And I think that you said something very important, too. As long as you enjoy it, because I think if you stop enjoying it, I think fans will start seeing that in your writing, that you're just not into it anymore. So I think that that is very important, that you still have to enjoy your character and what you're writing. And like you said, trying to come up with creative ideas for Kate to, you know, still be involved in trying to solve these murders, like Jessica Fletcher had to every time she came on the screen, a murder she wrote. you just have to keep thinking of these creative ways to why does she have to try to solve this one? So, yeah, I mean, and that is a challenge to keep that fresh in your mind. And so and let's just look forward here real quick because we're running out of time, but when you're looking into the third book of the series, have you challenged yourself in a different way from one to two? Was there something that you wanted to stress upon yourself to see if you could make better, or something that you were kind of working on just as an internal writer to change some things up?
Well, I always try to have some kind of specific idea that's reflected in a couple of different ways. For example, with Unleashed, the idea of control and suicide and worried about self-worth and everything. And what I do is I sprinkle it throughout the book in different perspectives, because there's all kinds of ways of looking at all of these things. And in the next book, I'm looking at how anticipation and love can both hinder and also free you. And so I know that sounds a little esoteric, but what it is there's different characters whose their lives and their relationships are in different places. And everything is kind of reflected in that. And it's also reflected in Kate, because she is not in a relationship and she wants to be, and the person she's attracted to is in a different relationship. And so it's that kind of thing. Do you move on? Do you wait? What do you do? So it is interesting, and I try to make it interesting in addition to the murder and the mystery and everything else. So I do actually have a reason.
Well, I'll tell you, Eileen, I want to thank you so much for coming on. It has been fabulous. And I take it when people go to your website, EileenBradyMysteries.com, on the left-hand side, they will see a way to connect with you via Facebook and Twitter, email you and things like that. So that is all nice and listed on the website. And they'll be able to sit there and understand exactly what you got going on and coming in the future. So thank you so much for coming on.
I always love to answer my fans. I always write back. So go ahead and write.
Wonderful. And so I'm glad you had such a wonderful time on your blog tour also.
Yeah, I had lots of fun. Thank you, John.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have a good one, Eileen, and keep writing. And can't wait to see what you got coming up next. So thank you again so much and enjoy.
Okay, you too. Have a great day.
All right, bye-bye. So again, everybody, that is author Eileen Brady with her second book, Unleashed, in her Kate Turner series. Make sure you check her out at EileenBradyMysteries.com for more information on that. We want to thank everybody, and of course, PartnersInCrimeTours.net for still including us here as a tour stop. Of course, make sure you check out the website for everything, SuspenseRadioNetwork.com. We will be back. I think our next show is going to be Saturday. Will be Suspense Radio I will have on. And there's going to be some major guests coming up here with J.A. Jantz, Karen Slaughter, Kim Harrison's going to be on the show. That show is going to be outstanding, so make sure you check that one out. So until next time, everybody, we want to say thanks again. And like always, keep reading. See you later.